This is Brother Billy. I say good morning to each one of you. Pray God's word is going to bless you today. If you got your Bible, look with us into the book of Psalms. I'm going to begin reading in Psalm 78. We may move around a little bit and get some of the nuggets out of God's word. I pray you encouraged this morning. Looking forward to a good day of worship. You know where you're going. You're going to go support your pastor. Get under God's word. Sing God's songs. I'm glad there's still some old-time churches preaching old-time gospel messages and getting the word out. Amen. Amen. We don't need a new cart. You remember the place in the scripture where David decided that he was going to bring the ark into town, into Jerusalem, on a new cart. God didn't want a new cart. He wanted the Levites, those old faithful Levites, to bear it upon their shoulders and put those poles between that chest. An ark was a chest. And so the Ark of the Covenant was about 3 foot long and 3 foot high, and it was just a big box. And so it was overlaid with gold, but it was God's box. And God had what he wanted in there. He had the tablets of stone, remember, that he gave Moses. And those tablets were written with the finger of God. And God took Moses up on that mountain, and he wrote upon those tablets. And you know what he wrote? He wrote those Ten Commandments, and he gave them to Moses there upon the stone. And we see it right there where God put them in the ark. And then Aaron, there was a time when Aaron was contested by the people. You know, sometimes people come against God's leadership. And this is what happened in Aaron's life. There were those that contested him and said, Aaron, you take too much on yourself. God's not called you to do all this. And we don't think you're the only one that God wants. And so Moses commanded that they bring their rod, and they brought their limbs. And so Aaron's was an almond rod, and the word said that is almond rod. God said, the one that buds, that's the one I've chosen. And so we find it there that God chose Aaron. And so as he chose him, God picked him. It was no doubt what God wanted. You know, there's clarity with God. And so we have to understand, as people say, preacher, if I only knew what the Lord wanted. Well, we can pray. We can find out what God wants. And we can communicate with him. He's not a little statue that's dead. He's not somewhere that's a little trinket over on the mantelpiece. No, God's alive and he's well. God's working in our midst. God wants to do great exploits for you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to walk with you. He's that kind of God. And so as he determined that Aaron was his choice, and here they are saying, Aaron, you're being too braggadocious, son. No, you're not the only one that can hear from God. God caused the rod of Aaron to bud. So they put that in the ark. And as they put that in there, they put the manna pots. Remember how they pled to God. And they said, Lord, you brought us out here in this wilderness, and you've left us, and what are we going to eat? We're going to all starve to death. Doesn't that sound like the mumblers and the grumblers of our generation? And they say, well, God can't, and God won't, and God's out of business, and God's dead. I like the movie. Remember the movie a while back? God is not dead. Amen? And he's not dead, church. He's alive, and he's well. Send a friend. You need to know that God's alive. God's alive, and he wants to work on your behalf. God's alive, and he wants to do great exploits for you. He wants to bring you where he wants you to be. That's why he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He didn't want them there. He never wanted them there. But they went into bondage, and they fell on hard times because of their sinfulness. And they forgot God, and they began to operate without God. Now, we sometimes say we would never forget the Lord. You said, preacher, I wouldn't forget God for anything. What if we forget his precepts? What if we forget his principles? What if we set his ways aside and follow after our ways? Then we forgot him, and it's not what he wants. And so God fed them with manna, and he gave them manna, and he fed them there, bless God, and he sustained them. That's the kind of Lord that we serve. He said, preacher, I don't want to serve the Lord. Look at the bad things that happen. I'm going to tell you, bad things happen because of what men do. Good things happen because of what God does. And the quicker we understand that, the better for it we'll be. And so In this ark, we're still talking about the ark now, that God has set up, and it's a holy instrument of the tabernacle. And so remember, God gave them the order of worship right there in the wilderness. You said, preacher, they didn't have fancy buildings. That's right. It was one big campsite that flowed millions of people, 12 tribes of Israel, throughout that land that God led them through, that wilderness land for 40 years. And you know why he stayed there? They stayed there 40 years because God said they would. And they stayed there. Remember, they went and journeyed, the children of Israel, those 12 spies, went into the land that God gave them. God didn't intend for them to be there 40 years, by the way. He said, preacher, bad things have happened. God does not intend for bad things to happen to you. God only wants good things. He wants good things for you, but our unbelief and our sinfulness, and by the way, unbelief is sinfulness, our unbelief causes bad things to happen. And so they tarried for 40 days as they went and journeyed the land of Israel that God wanted to give them. And as they tarried there, they came back with the evil report and said, we can't take the land. Only 2 men out of 12 men brought a good report. And those are the only 2 men that got to see the good land because the others died in the wilderness. God left them there until they all died beside Jacob. Pardon me, not Jacob, but Joshua and Caleb. So as they tarried there for 40 years, God fed them and he clothed them and he provided for them. And this is what's going on in the ark. It's a remembrance. Those stones that God wrote with his finger, that's a remembrance of what he done. And so those manna pots, that manna God gave them every morning and every evening, that was remembrance. God said, keep those and keep Aaron's rod that budded. And so they put them all there in the ark. Well, when David, back to our original thought, when David is bringing the ark into the city of Jerusalem, he wants to do it in the best way possible. His heart's in the right place. And, you know, sometimes it's not a problem with our heart. Our heart may be in the right place, but it's the obedience that we miss out on. And so David said, you know what? He said, God's better than those old Levites, and we've got some nice things now. So this is what happens. This happens in the church. We've got to watch out for it. It happens in the family unit. It happens in the ministry. And so they thought, you know, we've got some really nice things, and we've got some better ideas than God had. Now, God's idea was that they bring it, and they put 2 poles. Imagine this. This would probably be the size of a chest. I don't know what you would liken it to. Some kind of old big chest that your grandparents had. It's about that size. And so it's got rings on each corner. And on those rings, they put poles. Those poles are overlaid with pure gold. And they put the whole chest is overlaid with pure gold. And so God, I'm going to tell you, God's not broke, and God's not dead, and God's not on welfare, and God's not going out of business. And God is alive and well. And he said, you take those staves, that were the poles, and you put them through the rings on each corner. And you take and let those Levites bear it upon their shoulders. Everything about that ark was transportable by the men God chose. I'm going to tell you something we need to see right there. The men God chose in your generation to carry the gospel, preach the gospel, put the word of God out. I tell you, it's enough. It's enough to get you where you need to be. Those Levites were enough. They did not need the oxen and the cart to carry God's work. And so God put it upon the shoulders of the Levite. And God has put upon the shoulders of men that he's called to preach his word today. He's put it upon their shoulders to get the word of God out. And I'm going to tell you, those men God called, they're holy men. You know why they're holy? They're not holy because of their goodness. They're holy because God has set them apart. To sanctify means this. It means to be set apart for God. And so all of those instruments and bowls and things that God called, those tongs and hooks. And you know what they done daily? They daily killed animals. Oh, I know Peter wouldn't like this. But I'm going to tell you, those people at Peter may not like God either. God daily killed animals. And he used them for the sacrifice. And so God required blood. And that was an animal sacrifice every day, morning and evening, that God used, and that blood, for all things are cleansed by blood. And so we see this. Matter of fact, Hebrews deals with this quite thoroughly. And so if we see this here, God takes this animal blood, and it's the blood of the lamb without spot, and he applies that unto the altar, and pours that. And he pours the wine, and he pours the holy oil. He pours all those things upon this sacrifice. And it was a very detailed, intense worship service that they conducted morning and night. You know why? Because all things are purged by blood. I'm going to tell you, if there's sin somewhere, the only way that sin's going to be purged is by blood. In the Old Testament, it was purged by the blood of the Lamb. But thank God for the New Testament, it's purged once for all by the blood of Jesus. For we are sanctified once for all. You know what that means? What Christ done on the cross is the sinner's substitute for all sin. Any person that ever commit can be cleansed. You said, preacher, I know some bad people's done some bad things. I tell you, any sin can be cleansed by the blood. If they can hear the voice of God, if they can hear the call. And listen, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you can hear the call of God, you can come. And so those who call are called can come. You can't come if you're not called. Now the call, the universal call, is that all men, women, boys, and girls be saved. But I tell you, the personal call of God that comes to our heart, that's a holy calling. And that's only what the Spirit of God can do to a heart. And that's the only time a sinner can be saved. You said, preacher, I'm going to say the sinner's prayer when I get there on my deathbed. No, you're not. You can say it. But that's not going to save you. That's not going to deliver you. If there's no call of God to your heart, if the Holy Ghost is not drawing you, if the Spirit of God's not saying, come unto me, then you cannot come. You know how we come to Christ? We come to Christ by invitation only. Invitation only. Because outside of an invitation, no person, man, woman, boy, or girl, you may be the president of the garden club. You may give your life to feed the hungry. I don't care what good deeds. You may give all your gifts to the poor. I tell you, those things cannot save you. Remember the man came and he said, Lord, if I've wronged any man, I'll restore him fourfold. Oh, Zacchaeus right there in Luke 19. You know what he wanted? He wanted to get right with God. But the only reason he got right with God is because God was calling him. That's the only time you can come. So let's go back now. We're going to backtrack a little bit and get back on pace. Because here, David's wanting to bring the Ark of God into Jerusalem. Well, God wanted it in Jerusalem. And so here, we see that the Lord is in this work. God doesn't have a problem with getting it to Jerusalem. That's the holy city of God. I talked to a lady last night that just got back from there and talked about the awesomeness of how that city's been preserved. And the things of the Holy Land. What a blessing that would be to go one day. But I tell you, whether I go in this generation or the next generation, thank God I'm going. Amen. All believers are going to be a part of that millennial reign, that 1,000-year reign with Christ. Amen. And so one day, we're going to see that great city. But I tell you, here we find it that David's bringing up the ark, and he's put it upon a new cart, and God don't want it on a cart. And nothing wrong with new carts, if that's what God wants. But it wasn't what he wanted. And so as those oxen are bringing up the ark, and there it is. So it's a little heavy, but it ain't too much that men can't tote it. That's the way God set it up. And so as the oxen stumbled. Now this is the simplicity of the Word of God. The old cow, the old oxen, he stumbled. Oxen is typically a bull by birth. But the old oxen stumbled, and when he stumbled, the little trailer rock that they had the ark on, and one of those good godly men, Uzziah by name, he was doing the right thing. But as he reached up and grabbed the ark to stabilize it, he didn't want it to turn over. He didn't want it to flip. We've all moved furniture and different things and out on the farm or whatever the case, and you'd reach up and stabilize something. That's what Uzziah did. His heart was in the right place. But I tell you, it's a holy occasion. At such a holy occasion, no man's able to touch that ark but the Levite. And as Uzziah reached up and touched it, the Word of God said that he was smitten and he died. He died there, and that stopped the whole parade. The parade was over. Why? Because Uzziah has lost his life. Why did Uzziah lose his life? Because he touched the ark. What's the ark doing on a trailer anyway? God didn't want it on a wagon. God wanted it on the shoulders of those men that he called to carry it. You know where God wants the gospel? He wants the gospel on the holy things on the shoulders of the men that he's called to carry it. If God's called us to carry the gospel, that's the job he's given us to do. And that's what we need to be about. That's the business we need to be about. And so we see it here. In this, I was going to read a little bit in Psalm 78, but I don't think I'm ever going to get there. What we find is, as they're going up and they're going in, then David's heart's broke. You know why his heart's broke? Because Uzziah's lost his life. Why'd Uzziah lose his life? Listen, we can oftentimes backtrack and we can find out what went wrong. I promise you that all through the life of Jacob could backtrack and see where things went awry, how things got out of kilter. And so we know it, that Jacob, had he lived the life of a deceiver, and he's God's man, but his whole life was built around deception. And so we find it that he deceived his brother. And then we see it that he deceived others. And then we find those his boys, they learned how to deceive real good. And so they deceived the men of Shechem. And so all of these things. And then they find their way over into Egypt. But you know how they got there? Because his boys has revolted and tricked Jacob again and sold their brother. And then we find it that all of these things happen. And Jacob's reaping what he's sowing. And all of these things has happened in David's life because he took it upon himself. God help us, church. We can't take it upon ourselves. We've got to stay with God's plan, God's way, God's word. We've got to understand God has an order. And so we want to be in that order. We want to carry on for him. And this is what we're going to see in David's life. Even when David has watched, and there's been a stoppage in the parade, and things have come to a halt, and they've parked the ark, and it's like, oh my God, we're going to weep, and we're going to get Uzziah put away. We got a funeral now, and so we've got other things to attend. But as soon as that was over, you know what they done? They brought the ark up to Jerusalem. And you know how they brought it? They went back to the Word of God and said, we don't need a new way. Bless God, we need to find God's way. His way is upon the shoulders of the Levites. And that's what we want to do. We want to carry it upon the shoulders of the Levites. We want to go God's way. And when they went God's way, there was a great parade, a wonderful celebration, a holy occasion where the Spirit of God came down. And you know, it's so true in the church. If we want God's blessings, then we're going to have to do it His way. You said, preacher, we got some new ideas. Well, I'm not telling you that some new ideas aren't all right. I'm saying we can't throw the gospel out the window and expect God to work. There's nothing wrong with looking at our techniques. But I tell you, the biggest thing wrong with the techniques today is we've left the old black, white, red, white Word of God. We threw the King James out and got something, some new, better version, they say, that's not a new, better version. And we've left the purity of God's Word. And we've tried to take the salt and the barbed wire out of God's message. You can't take the salt and barbed wire out. I tell you, God God's word is full. It's full of razor blades and barbed wire. You know why? Because it cuts coming and going. I'm going to show you something over in Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12, I want you to see this. Because if people lose this, see, what we have to understand is that when God's word comes, it cuts. It cuts to the heart. It is an operating procedure of the Holy Ghost. And the operating procedure is to penetrate the hard, hard heart of man. And how does God do that? By his word. Look with me in Hebrews 4:12. I want you to see this. Because we have to understand that the preaching of the gospel is a necessary force if we are going to see sinners saved, if we are going to see lives changed. And so Paul is writing this. There's no doubt in my mind that Paul wrote Hebrews. And so here he said, let us therefore fear, verse 1, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Oh, Paul said, let us fear. He said, my God, we ought to be afraid that we don't come short of God's promise. Entering into God's rest. What's that mean? We enter into his rest here in this life when we submit to the Savior and we have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That's entering into God's rest. On May the 3rd, 1987, over 30 years ago, this preacher entered into God's rest. You know how? I said, Father, I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to fight against God. I want to work for him. I don't want to be on the wrong team. I want to be on the right team. I want to be saved. God spoke to me, smote me, and cut me to the heart by the preacher. I still think about the precious preacher that preached God's word to me. And brother, I'm telling you, he didn't candy coat it, and he didn't sugar it up, and he didn't put it, you know how oftentimes people take the youngins' medicine and they put it in something they like. He didn't put it in something this old flesh like. He put it right there in the King James black, white, red, white word of God, and he delivered it by the Holy Spirit, and God quickened this young man's heart. I'll never forget where I sat and what I heard and how God called and how I stepped out into that aisle by faith and I went forward. I tell you, you know, people said, preacher, I want to go forward all my life. The best way you're going to go forward is to go forward to Christ and fall on your face and submit your rebellious will to him. That's how we enter into his rest. He said, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached, watch now, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You said, a preacher, I was raised in church. My mom and daddy drug me to church. They drug me. I heard one preacher say the only thing he knew about drugs was being drugged to church. All his life he was drugged to church. And you may be that person. You say, I was drugged to church all my days. I've heard all the gospel messages. I know all 66 books of the Bible by heart. That's okay. But if you have not mixed the word of God with faith, then you don't know what saving faith is. And so what did he say? The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Now fast forward a little bit. Watch this. Fast forward a little bit. You're going to see it down into verse number 9 is where we're going to begin reading. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest. Watch now. There's a difference in our rest and his rest. Our rest is when we get in our easy chair, or we lay on the couch, watch a little football, or we go recline in our big comfortable king-size bed God's gave us. That's what we call rest. Or we get into our vehicles and we go down the road high rates of speed in luxury. That's restful, isn't it? Or we take a vacation and we enjoy God's beauty and the things he's provided. Go to the mountains. That's rest. That's not his rest. His rest is a saving relationship with Him. That's the only real rest. See, that's what you're missing. You said, "Preacher, I've got all those other things," and I'm proud you do. I really am. I mean that. I'm proud you have them. That's not God's rest. God's rest is a saving relationship with Christ. Now, here's one thing. You can have all of those things, all of those things, I hope you do, and miss heaven and spend eternity in a literal burning hell. That's not the will of God for you. God wants you to enter into His rest. And I'm going to tell you, brother, when you enter into His rest, you may be in a pup tent back in the back of the pasture, and you can still have real rest in His rest. Watch now. "For there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." I love that. And so what about that rest? "For he that has entered into His rest," see, that's why God set up the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a day of rest. God wanted His people to come apart, have a day of rest. And so this is what He's saying here. "He that hath entered into His rest hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from His." What's that mean? The rest He's preaching right here is the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ, entering into Him. Even as they come to the Sabbath day to put their labors aside, when we quit spinning our wheels and trying to do something to get right with God besides coming to Christ. Christ is a type of the believer's rest. Now here, verse 12 is where we're heading. And this is why we came over to Hebrews 4. Verse 12 said, "For the Word of God." Who is the Word of God? Jesus is the Word of God. And He said that He is the Word. And the Word has dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh. Christ, the Word of God. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart." You know what He's saying right here? He's saying that God's Word, the Word of God, is the quickening power. Jesus is the quickener of the heart. He's the only one speaks life unto mankind. So we can have all of these religious things, and we can have all of these new ideas. We can bring new carts into the church. It ain't what God wants. God don't want a new cart. He wants an old bloody gospel that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. You know what God's Word did that night, May 3rd? It quickened my old dark heart. You know what God wants to do for you? He wants to quicken your heart. He wants to save you by the shed blood. He wants to bring you into the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and make your life more blessed than it's ever been before. That's the call of God. That's what He wants to do. And He shed that blood even for you. That's what the inspirations are singing about. That blood, sir, was spread, or pardon me, shed for you. And those arms were spread on an old bloody cross for you. And Jesus gave His life that you and I can have life. Thank God He wants us to have life. He died that we might have life. His blood was shed for even me. And so we have to see it. What's God want? His old time gospel. He wants it preached. He wants it believed. He wants us to cleave to it. Father, today, would you take your word? Would you inspire preachers and teachers? God, there's many a Sunday school teacher that's going to go, and they're going to share with the class today. I pray you inspire them. God, I pray you fortify them. Every preacher that's going to stand in the pulpit, God, give them something, the salt and the barbed wire and the razor blades. The Word of God is a two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. God, let it be so today. We don't need a new gospel. We don't need a new cart. We need God's way. Father, grant it. For Jesus' sake, we pray it. God, touch every heart. If there's a sinner listening today, I pray you'd save them right now for Christ's sake. Until we meet again, as Brother Billy said, may God's word bless you, I pray.